hard, Grandma. It really is. It really is. But this is a true story. An elderly lady from Florida did her shopping one day. Upon returning to her car, found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags, drew her handgun, proceeded to scream at the top of her voice, "I have a gun. I know how to use it. Get out of my car." Four men didn't wait for a second invitation. They got out and ran like mad. The lady, somewhat shaken, then proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car, got into the driver's seat, and she was so shaken that she could not get the key into the ignition. She tried, and she tried, and then it dawned on her why. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked four or five spaces farther down. She loaded her bags into the car and drove to the police station. The sergeant in whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly hair, and carrying a large handgun. She happens to be here with us this evening. Right back here. There she is. All right. You ever get frustrated when the police don't show up and the lady didn't show up? You ever had that case? My wife and I, as I told you this morning, never had a fight in 52 years. Just a multitude of times of intense fellowship. But George Philip and his wife were going to sleep one night at their house down in Meridian, Mississippi. He was going to bed when his wife told him and said he'd left the light on in the garden shed, which she could see from the bedroom window. George opened the back door to turn off the light, but saw that there were people in the shed stealing things. He phoned the police, who asked, "Is someone in your house?" And he said, "No." Then they said that all patrols were busy and they should simply lock his door and an officer would be along when available. George said, "Okay," hung up the phone, counted to 30, and phoned the police again. "Hello? I just called you a few seconds ago because there were people stealing things from my shed. You don't have to be in a hurry now because I've shot them." And he just hung up. Within 5 minutes, three police cars, an armed response unit, an ambulance showed up to Phillips residence and caught the burglars red-handed. One of the policemen said to George, "I thought you said that you shot them." George said, "I thought you said there was nobody available." There you go. There you go. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Isn't it good to be in God's house? Aren't you thankful that you don't look like the person sitting next to you? Yeah, there you go. I love to tell young people this. Walk all through that. I'll say to young people, "Now, repeat these words after me," and I'll say, "I'm so thankful." And they'll say, "I'm so thankful. And so very glad that I do not look like you." Isn't that good? Yeah, that's good. All right. How many is glad you're here tonight and not in jail? Would you raise your hand, please? How many is glad that you're here tonight and your mother-in-law doesn't live with you? Would you raise both hands, please? Amen. There you go. Good. Let's all stand together, if you could, please. We're going to read one verse. One verse. I think I'm just getting real close to matching who with who here and where you're all from and everything like that. It is a blessing to get to be with you. I love your preacher. We're working on loving his wife, but I love your preacher very dearly. And it just seems like you just get in and then you got to go and go. And Sean and I are trying to shift gears a little bit. She said I'm not shifting the right gear, but I'm trying to shift gears and just enjoy life a little bit. This kind of flies by, doesn't it? You know, it just seems like yesterday. I do need to publicly apologize. I had an attitude of the wrong spirit during watching the flute being played. I hate the flute. Where's she at? I hate the flute. My sister played the flute. That was the only instrument that I wanted to throw up in the air and shoot. Run over with my truck, take a welder and seal it all completely, then never be blown. I'd go into her room. As I started the room, my dad said, "Go in there. I know what's going to happen." Dad, can you hear the sounds of that thing? That's not a musical instrument. That's from the pit of hell, Dad. Listen to that thing. It was wonderful. Thank you for the special music today. It was great. Enjoyed the choir special and all the different things. Nobody asked me to sing. If I had feelings, I'd be offended. But if you remember, Shauna and Davina and Jeremy used to sing. Wherever we traveled, they'd sing. I so oftentimes people look at me, what do you do? I'm the driver. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Have you found it? If not, just look intelligent wherever you're at. All right, if you can do that, okay? Verse number 58 in 1 Corinthians, for those of you intelligent people, that's I. Everybody good tonight? I got to do something to keep you awake. You ought to look what I'm seeing right now. It's not real good. It's not real good. I might as well just preach to myself and let you go ahead and go to sleep. Please don't do that. Because knowing me, I'll come and visit you. I had a blind roommate in Bible college, John Swift. God, good fellow. But him being blind and coming to Bible college, he had to help him do some homework. And that sucker, that sucker would go ahead and fall asleep. One day, Dave Smith had it. John's asleep in doctrine class. One of the most boring classes. My Dr. Patton was a godly man. But I mean to tell you, he was. But anyhow, Dr. Patton was a great godly man. John fell asleep about halfway through the class, and I had to get him. It just started down around my feet. Came all the way up. And I decided, John, yes. I said, Dr. Patton asked you to pray. John Scurry and the little doctor class stood up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour. I mean, Dr. Patton just stopped lecturing and said, John, we thank you for that inspiration right now. The other students, John said, What happened? Oh, you stood up in the middle of class like an idiot. Well, you told me to stand up. I said, you go to sleep and I'll do it again. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Here we go. Therefore, my beloved brethren. I love that, don't you? My beloved brethren. We ain't just brothers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. We're going to go through tough times. It's going to get worse. It's okay. It's all right. But God says, I want you to be steadfast, unmovable. Then look at the third thing. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have no idea. I don't keep track how many times the Lord's allowed us the privilege to come. And I do highly love, highly respect Pastor. And this is very, very much. Don't know if I'll ever be back again. I'd love to, hope to be that way. Can I tell you this? I'm old enough that I've seen enough turning and changing, quitting, giving up, no longer. I know some of the men I preach for are going to heaven. Some of them are turning. I won't be a bad pastor, and I won't go back. I'm not looking for a place to preach. Sir King said he's going to take care of that. I don't make phone calls. I just preach. But I want to challenge you tonight. And the message is going to be simple. But I want to challenge you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We live in a generation that looks at fame, looks at fortune, and looks at forward, they think. You ever think about the three areas of Jesus? Areas of the same thing you and I are going to do. What happens? We look at the church down the road and they've got a big old shopping center they bought and remodeled. If I told you how those churches are financed and documented and financed, we'd be shocked. But God wants you and me, not, He's talking to us individually, brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father in heaven, I yield myself to you tonight. I want to be a blessing and strengthening. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll meet with us. I yield myself to you. I thank you for the wonderful time we had around your word in Sunday school and the church, and what a joy it was to fellowship, Father, around the table. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that you bless us tonight. I yield myself to you. I pray, Father, that you be with Lord. Father, strengthen her. Father, help her. Father, be with her husband, as I'm sure he feels. So useless, so helpless. Be with those precious three children. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name. The other request I mentioned today. Oh God, I ask you to just please let me be an encouragement and challenge to you. Again, I pray for fresh filling, fresh anointing. Father, please be with us today. Please stir our hearts today. Please challenge us. Bind the devil. Put a hedge of protection around us in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated and take your Bible? Thank you for standing. Look at me in chapter number 16. Chapter number 16, verse number 13. The Bible says, watching. Just a second, I got to interject something here. Would somebody please buy Pastor some advanced glasses? If I have to wear trifocals, he's got to wear the whole thing. I mean, to tell you, during this message, I will be speaking in three different languages. I'm one of those guys who goes to grocery stores like this. I've got a picture that I posted. He's not wearing glasses. And he puts on the sissy glasses. Where did they be offending me? I don't care. I really don't. No, I'm just teasing. I saw those things, and I'm the kind of guy, okay, where do I start looking at, folks? And I start looking this way. And I looked at that thing. I said, preacher, turn those things upside down so I can see you now. There we go. But I looked at, I'm just teasing, preacher, but that's half a man wearing half a glass. Amen? Somebody say amen. Put the whole stinking thing on. There you go. Amen. The congregation thinks so too, preacher. Okay, here we go. We're getting into the message tonight. The Bible says, watching. You see that verse? Look at your Bible now. Don't look at me. Watching. Stand fast. I have wrote those two words underlined, highlighted in my Bible. I have three statements wrote there. Number one, don't let up. Don't let up. Don't back off. Don't start. We've got people that's backing off of preaching, backing off of teaching, backing off of whooping kids' Bible way, backing off of having families eat together at the dinner table, backing off and saying, may I be excused from the table, backing off of teaching men to be men, young men to be men. Do you know there's 37 states in the United States of America that has documented that their children, until the age of 14, the parents cannot tell them if they're male or female? Could you go with me down to Stockshale, please, where they sell animals? Where they sell horses, where they sell calves, where they sell sheep, where they sell goats, where they sell all kind of animals. I want you to sit in the grandstand with me over here. When the auctioneer says, ladies and gentlemen, this next group of cows that will be coming in are bred heifers. Bred heifers. You know what that means? That means the bulls had a joining time with each one of those little female cows. And even though you can't see a baby, you've not seen a calf, they're being sold for bred heifers down at the stock sale. They know that life begins at conception. But what we've got is a generation of God's people right now. Generation of God's people. Matter of fact, I have a relative that has a Christian restaurant. That Christian restaurant had a preacher come in and preach today, teach a Bible lesson. That Christian restaurant offered today 34 draft beers. I might be bald-headed, and I might be old, and I might be a has-been, but my friend, I'm planning on standing for God Almighty. I'm planning on being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. And the first thing that I wrote over here, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't let up. Don't change. And don't quit. I'd be looked at now as hardcore. I'm not hardcore. My heart's breaking for young people today. My heart's breaking for they don't understand what a daddy and what a mama is. They don't understand what family devotions are. They don't see God's people standing fast. They see God's people moving. They see God's people changing. They see God's people right now. 34 draft beers on a Sunday. On a Sunday. And in God's name. God's name, my hind leg. God's not anywhere close to that. We've raised a generation that turned Sunday, a holy day, into a holiday. I'm not a good athlete, but I played every sport you could in the public school system. Can I tell you this? When we had a wrestling meet, it was never on Wednesday and never on Sunday. Can I tell you this? When we had a football game, it was never on Wednesday, it was never on Sunday. Can I tell you this? When we went to school on game day, had to have a haircut, had to have a white shirt, had to have a tie on, had to have a jacket on. Can I tell you, we had men's restroom and ladies' restroom. Now we've got unisex restrooms. I'll never forget when I went into a shoe store to get a pair of shoes one day. My dad always wore floor-shoe shoes. My dad was crippled, and he had to have one of his shoes built up almost 2 inches. His right leg was crippled and short and turned out and everything. And when we walked into the shoe store, and the salesman said, we've got a new section. We have the unisex section. That's back in the 60s. A unisex section. The devil cannot get your salvation and my salvation, but he can distract us from serving, living, and loving our Lord. And that's what he's done to this generation. My friend, that's what he's doing over and over, and he's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. That's why you and I must be stable, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So when he said, watch ye, stand fast. Don't let up, don't change, and don't quit. Follow along. Where? In the faith. That's where you and I are supposed to stand, in the faith of God, in the Word of God, in what God says, in what God leads us. Then he says this, quit ye like men, and look at the last two words. Be strong. This time that you and I are living, Jesus is coming soon. He's pouring out His power. He promised He'd pour out His power. He promised that people would be saved. He promised that churches would be established. He promised that He'd bless us and for righteousness and for holiness. And God says, be strong in that time. Be strong when you see the tides turning. Be strong when you see people quitting. Be strong when you see people giving up. Be strong when you see people discouraged. And be strong when you get discouraged. It doesn't stop. It says, let all your things be done with what? Charity. That's the action of love. That's why we've got to keep sending out missionaries. That's why we've got to keep establishing new churches. That's why we've got to keep going on forward and passing out tracts and telling people about the gospel. Then he starts the very next verse. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, brethren. He said, I beg you, the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The first fruits of Achaia. Stephanas was born again. Another generation. Another one coming. And what he says, he said, they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He said, they've given themselves wholly. They're consumed of reaching a generation, discipling a generation, and watching that generation grow. Can I challenge you? Get you a sinner. Lead them to Christ. Live with them to disciple them. That's why I did that. There's nothing more exciting than to see somebody that's been born again fall in love with God and begin to grow in love. I had no idea. I love to go to the Veterans Hospital and make visits. A man by the name of Robert Cochran, I met at Veterans Hospital. Oftentimes when I'd go in a room, there'd be another man there, and I'd ask him, I'd say, because if you want to go to a lonely place, you think it's a care center, seniors, it's a Veterans Hospital. It's a Veterans Hospital. I cannot begin to tell you the men I've seen there that their families don't want them anymore. We had somebody that my wife and I was visiting, Veterans Hospital. The man across the way in the same room was just cussing, hateful, ungodly words he was saying. I went over there and did everything I could. He cussed me out. I just kept sitting and listening to cuss words. And I began to hear his story. I began to talk about he lost both of his lives. I began to talk about him coming home. The one he loved, the one he left, his sweetheart, his lover, his bride. So that is the giver of no words. He was begging to die. Pleading for them. And I thank God that I was able to give him the gospel. What ended up happening is I met Robert Cochran. Little did I know that Robert Cochran was one of the men that helped design many years back the little thing that you and I slip our debit card in to be able to make a charge. Robert Cochran made millions and millions and millions of dollars. An alcoholic. He's got all kinds of diseases, rejecting the Veterans Hospital. Had the privilege to lead Robert Cochran. Robert Cochran picked him up in his apartment, brought him to church, walked the aisle, public profession of salvation, went through the waters of baptism. Robert Cochran started running Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, very faithful. Brother Smith, he said, I just don't have clothes. He said, Lord, let me show this man what you can answer. I said, I'm going to take you to the independent fundamental Bible believing, soul winning, separated Baptist closures. He said, where in the world is that? I said, it's all good. I said, rich folks go ahead and buy all kinds of fancy clothes, wear them one time, they take them over there, and us cheap Baptists go buy them. Somebody say, amen. Amen. That's what we do. Don't be ashamed of it. It's good. I like when those rich folks just go and wear stuff one or two times. You go find them. You don't find many Westerners there. Those are most people who are rich, they're just not godly. And anyhow. I just seen if you're listening. What ended up, we went there and I stopped in the church. I said, oh, I said, don't you want me to close that? I said, no, close that. And I said, Lord, I want this man to see your hand in this good ministry. I said, I'm asking you to have a suit separate color that he likes and it would be his size. I'm asking you, Lord, that you give him a pair of shoes and those shoes would be in a separate place for him. You say, Brother Dave, that's crazy. I know, but don't stop because I'm trying to enjoy it. So we went in there. I said, I'm not going back with you. So I want you to go back there and find the color you like. Don't touch it. It's separate. I'm standing over by the door. He's back over there. He starts waving at me. I hold the suit. I said, go try that. He comes walking out with the suit. Fits everything. I said, okay, let's go back to the shoe department. He said, where do I go? I said, there's going to be a pair of shoes back there. He said, separate. What is God doing? got an opportunity to show up. So he went back there. He looked at him. He was just standing there. And I said, "What?" I walked back there. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I just looked at him." I said, "Do you like them?" "Yes." He said, "Do you think they're my size?" I said, "We asked God to make them your size?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then get them on." Robert told him. Robert would go so far. Some of the people started making money. The same thing with his hope. The same thing with his children's name. Is Robert saved? Yes, Robert is saved. Is Robert's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is Robert going to go to heaven when he dies? Absolutely. Talks to drunks on our church staff. So anyhow, I call him. And as I call him, he's slobbering around. And I thought, I don't know if I'll ever see this man again. I'm going to take him to the plan of salvation. I took him to the plan of salvation. Prayed on the phone with him. I said, "This pastor saved me." She said, "I don't know. You're the one who's talking." And anyhow, we got home, done preaching that meeting, went home, and went to the address I had for him. And I said, "My name is Dave Smith." "You're the one who called me to the mission." I'm thinking to myself, he was drunk. He got saved. He is the executive vice president. From Sunday morning, from Sunday night, from Wednesday night. Week after week after week. Then he went on a company trip. He called me a few weeks ago. He sent me a text message. "I'm sorry, Pastor. My wife's in this." What happened? They decided the world would quit. They decided the temptations of the flesh were greater. They decided they didn't put a boundary around themselves. I went on a walk and I stopped by a big old oak tree. And I looked at that oak tree and I began to write. Life will always be changing. But those oak trees, those roots are stable. The roots of the great oak will form firm for all the seasons and for all kinds of weather. Did you ever think what a battle a tree has to sustain life? The birth of new buds in the spring, the growth of the beautiful leaves through the spring rains, winds, and the hot summer sun. The golden leaves turn to the chill of fall, the loss of leaves from the new world, and the freeze of wind and spring. The bitterness of ice and snow, and yet the mighty oak stands firm because of the depth of the root. As it drinks it and strengthens its mighty limbs and it keeps growing in the firm trunk. The mighty oak will stand through the seasons of time. And many times a young boy will scale its heights, but only because of the strength of the depths of the roots and the universe. When you think of a mighty oak passing through the years of time, you don't stop and think of the wood roots, the denseness of the grain, the beauty of the cabinet door, strong dining room table, sturdy furniture. There will be none of the beauty or the enjoyment of the products from the beautiful oak had there not been a stable, consistent growth in that great tree. Same thing is like you and me. Oh, we look and we read and we know of those that have, but we look over here, those that used to sing in the choir, those that used to teach Sunday school, those that used to work in the nursery, those that used to drive the bus, those that used to go soul winning. Those that used to. Well, we're here tonight, so let's just decide. I'm going to look at the Bible. I'm going to decide. I'm going to be more steadfast than I've ever been. I'm going to be more unmovable than I've ever been. I'm going to decide I'm always going to keep abounding in the work of the Lord. So I looked at these here tonight, and they were addicted. They were consumed. their desire was. But look in verse number 16 of chapter 16, 1 Corinthians. That ye submit yourselves unto the such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Look at verse number 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and their yours. Pastor Fritz called. It was exciting. It was thrilling. I said to Pastor Fritz, I said, this is an answer to prayer. I said, you were moved of God to allow us to come. But now I come. I see familiar faces. I see faces that belong to me, older, more mature. I see new children. I see new others. Well, let's decide tonight. Lord, what must I do to be stable? What must I do to be steadfast? What must I do to be unmovable? What must I do to be grounded and always abounding forward? If you're writing notes tonight, could you write this? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Did you hear that? Which is, which was. He is the present. He is the past. And He is which is to come. He's the unchanging. He's Abba Father. He's our Lord. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's not moved His position. He's not moved His plea. He's not moved His grace. He's not moved His love. He's not moved His compassion. His Word is unchanged. His Word is grounded in heaven. It will never change. It will never be removed. So why don't you and I decide tonight, I'm going to be more stable. I'm going to be more steadfast. I'm going to be more unmovable. Forward for God's work, number one. This is it. You and I have got to decide. I'm going to saturate myself in a relationship with Him. I'm going to saturate myself in a relationship with the Lord. What do I mean? I'm going to live in a mode of pleasing God in everything I do. I'm going to serve Him beyond responsibility and obligation. I'm going to saturate myself in a love for Him and who He is. I always enjoy teaching staff members in the summertime when they came for those 40 years. And I enjoyed watching Mrs. Smith teach the young ladies. And we enjoyed together as a couple watching those young people run the camp and direct the camp and take the responsibility. And I've said hundreds of times, if not every week, Mrs. Smith and I don't run this camp. These teenagers do. Those teenagers did because they caught a vision, because they were taught correctly, and because they took that vision that they caught and did. One of the things that I did, I would say to them to try to get them to understand the principle. I said, listen to this statement. I said, if you see something that needs to be done, you have the ability to do it, you have the time to do it, you're not infringing on somebody else's responsibility, then it's God's will for you to do it. You know what I was teaching them to do? When you walk from one place to the other and you see some people on the ground, you have the ability to pick it up. You're going that way, so you've got the time to pick it up. You go ahead and you can pick it up and drop it in a trash can, so why isn't it God's will for you to pick it up? We've raised a generation that says, that's not my job. We've raised a generation that says, I don't have the time. We've raised a generation that I've not been trained. We've raised a generation that has not saturated themselves in a work for God. Can I tell you why they're quitting? Can I tell you why they're not going ahead and going ahead? Can I tell you why they're backing their standards? Can I tell you why they're questioning things? Because they've not saturated themselves in a work for God. They've not saturated themselves to have a love for God and desire. There were three Hebrew brothers. They were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. I love the statement in Daniel chapter number 3 when the king looked at him and said, what if God doesn't do something today? What if God doesn't show up today? What if God doesn't come and free you today? I love what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said. Be it known, O king, we will not bow. I love those words, be it known, O king. It was settled in their heart. It was not because of circumstances. It was not because of the fire. It was settled because God evidently had a will that they were going to burn that day. But did they burn? They didn't burn. And that same king that challenged them looked and said, wait, and how many did we throw in the furnace? There are four in there now, and one is the form of the Son of God. My friend, you and I must saturate ourselves in a relationship with the Lord. Number two, learn to take your burdens to the Lord in prayer. We've got to raise a generation to pray. We've got to raise a generation that tells another generation about their answers to prayer. We've got to raise another generation that's, instead of being so emotional, so nerved up, so going into debt, my friend, you and I in this wonderful world of ours, we are lived by grace in the United States of America every day. It will never come out of debt. And I don't mean to be a doomsdayer. It's a fact. It will never come out of debt. Can I tell you, my wife and I were in love. We didn't need all the furniture. We had none. The only thing we had in the kitchen, excuse me, because I didn't know these other words until Shauna told me, we just had a card table. You might call them a folding table, but I'm unspiritual, so I call them a card table. Amen? some of you are looking at me like I can't look at the man. It wasn't sneaky. You're talking about the name. Two chairs. The women living in the chairs. Bought a bedroom set for her mom and daddy for $10. At that time, Sears had a sale on antique. Yeah. How many of you remember antique? Put a base coat on, then you get you a pair of worn out t-shirt or something. You wipe this other color on, you stand back and say, bad, baby, is it? You don't say that, but you think that there. And then you go buy you some handles and different things there, and you think, man, why have we got that too? This is richer.
Yeah.
Well, we had that all taken care of. We were so proud of that. I don't know if we even spent $5 on that antique. I have no idea what was going on. That was ours. And then we went there. I had married no children. Mm-hmm. I mean to tell you, we saved up some money and we went to look at furniture. And we looked at this couch. I said, I had to step down to your altar that night. I had to step down. I wanted you to understand the things that I'm saying today. I know the level of the spirituality is so low. I'm trying to bring it down. I'm hoping the Spirit of God will work in your hearts. We was looking at that the thing. And we had dope. Around here, boy. I mean, you can rock and do the 180 spin if she's not watching, or 360 spin. So anyhow, we did that. The man said, "Now you need some things." Shauna grabbed hold of it. I knew something was going to happen. She grabbed hold of it. She said, "Shh." She said, "Well, we've already bought this. We've already bought this. This looks to me like a thing." I'm telling you what, they threw that man in. She started walking around. There was another floor lamp up there. That woman doing? She said, "Ma'am, would you like to buy that?" "No, I don't want to buy that. But we bought that. We bought that." Before we left that place, we got three lights out of that place there for nothing. Now, I don't know what they got. But my friend, can I tell you this? I get excited when I see God does. And it takes it down so far. I have not forgotten the story. When I went to work at the Angeles Trombone Village, I was taking care of horses, giving trail rides and working ropes, and I was wearing my gloves out. I got up and read my Bible in the morning, had a prayer time. I went to the mailbox that day to get the mail. I was writing Shauna every day letters. There wasn't a letter for her. She didn't like me. I wrote her every day. Did you get that? I'm going to tell this side of the crowd. I wrote her every day. She didn't write me every day. Did you get that? I just want to make you understand that I wrote her every day. She didn't write. Brother Dave, you got an attitude about that. I got an attitude so bad that we're down in Alabama and I'm telling the same story. Not the same message, but the same story. The teenagers came up to her, "Listen, did you write him a letter? We want to tell him that you did write him a letter." And those kids gave me, during my last message, I got that letter that she wrote to him. It took a lot of years, 52 years. There's nine, I'll tell you what. But anyhow, there was a box in there. That's my home. I took all the mail to Mrs. Williams. Mrs. Williams said, "Hey, there's a box." I took it to the place where this couple was around. I took the pocket and slid it open. There's a piece of scrap paper on the inside. "Dear David, as you know, your granddaddy wrote it. Born and raised in Colorado. One thing that every cowboy needs is a hot dog. I figured this now. Just get up and read your Bible and pray and go to God and light that." Next day, I did have hair. Got up that next morning, I read my Bible, I prayed, did everything just like I did the day before, all day long, nobody would have been. Did I tell you, Shauna never wrote me that day? No mail that day, and all day long, no tips, nothing. But Lord, what am I doing all day? And we went to bed that night, about 10 o'clock, they came to us and said, "The family's moving here from California, and their house was fellas, we're a little short on cash. I wish I could pay for that. I want to get ahead. I've got a little more in the family. It's sober. My hair was getting a little bit long." So we finished unloading and we were getting ready to walk away. And the man said, "Fellas, I'm really sorry. I don't have money to pay for that." "Well, what are you doing?" yesterday I got a divorce. Today I did the same thing. I didn't get any money for the haircut. Lord, we're leaving this thing in the morning. The other cowboys were back in the cabin. I walked along there. I was kicking rocks in the sand. And then I heard this.
Fellas, I'm sure sorry I don't have any money to pay you, but I'm a barber by trade. If any of you need a haircut, I'll cut your hair free.
That was 1996. I'm not going to leave him. I'm not going to leave him. But I hope you will. Then, saturate yourself in relationship with God. Learn to take your burden to the Lord in prayer. Daniel did. Daniel was caught praying in the morning, at noon, and evening. It caused him to go to the lion's den, but God said, I'm going to send some angels down there to close those lions' mouths, and you're going to live through it. How did he live through that? Because Daniel was a man of prayer. Number three, if you and I are going to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then always seek spiritual counsel before ever making a major decision. We've raised a generation that's mobile. Used to be my daddy was a printer for 45 years, only worked in two print shops. My father-in-law was a printer for 42 years. He only worked in one print shop. Used to be a generation that started and finished. Now we've got people that move every year, every 6 months. I'm not against you moving, but this is what I'm against. Preacher, there's a family here last year.
Yeah, they moved.
Preacher, did they find a church before they took the job? Preacher, did they seek your counsel before they left? No, they just
You and I are going to be steadfast. You and I are going to be unmovable. You and I are going to be always abounding. You're looking at a man that's 72 years of age. At 70 years of age, I began to counsel with Pastor Fugit, my preacher, that I'm older than he is. But he's a man of God, and God's hand is on him, and God's blessed him, and God's used him. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how I've served. God's hand's on him for you because he accepted the call of God as a pastor.
That doesn't make him not a saint. And I tell you, God gives a pastor insight. God gives a pastor a heart. God gives a pastor a direction. There was a mama who didn't have any children. She fasted. She prayed. She her name is Hannah. She gave that little boy to God. But that little boy, she gave him to God. And she gave him to a priest. That priest lost his sons. That priest was not living a life that was pleasing to God. But he was still God's man for that time. His name was Eli. Little Samuel went to sleep one night and Eli was in his room. The Spirit of God spoke to Samuel and he said these words, Eli, or Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up. He went to the man of God. He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel went back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, the second time. He got up. He went to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Listen to this. The third time Samuel heard God. Samuel, Samuel, when Eli then said, Son, the next time you hear that, we've raised a generation to understand finances.
We've raised a generation how to use a computer. We've raised a generation that carries a cell phone that does more things than any computer ever did when I was a little boy.
But we've not raised a generation to know the Lord. I said in Sunday school, if you don't obey the Lord, oh, so many I've said, Brother Dave, how do you know the voice of God when you're sensitive to the voice of God and humble in that voice? You're willing to do anything in that voice. You'll understand the leading of that voice. You'll hear things like this, you're not to hear that. You'll hear things like this, you're not to hear that. You'll hear things like this, you're not to hear that. You'll hear things like this, to be transparent. Our past life. The one that study the Bible and read the Bible. Never known anything like this for the Spirit of God. We are the Spirit. We hadn't been married 6 months. What ended up happening? I'm standing in the men's dressing room. She's standing in the men's dressing room. And neither one of us changed our clothes. This is it. And God let me see in the book of Leviticus chapter 18, over 20 times. Word naked is mentioned. But you go ahead and do a picture like Brother David, which is nakedness. You'll crosshair half the crowd that night. We've raised a generation that accepted nakedness. And the next thing that God shows us in the book of Leviticus is there will be adultery. And when we accept nakedness, there will be adultery. When we accept adultery, you know what the next thing is? Sodomy. And when we accept sodomy, you know what the next thing is? My friend, it's abortion. We accept abortion. You know what the next thing is after abortion is plain in the Word of God? It's bestiality, my friend. There are more people in more states than people getting married to animals and having relationships that are ungodly and decided God with animals. And what God says next, you're in the bondage of the school. What ends up happening, it's nothing new, the immorality that's coming on in this world. Just the other day, 2 days, 3 days ago, there was a large ring of men caught in the eastern northern states because of children here, ungodly physical ring. You didn't see any of their names in the news. There's a world that's constantly covering up the sin. Constantly covering up more businessmen, more military men, more men that are in elected positions were arrested because of the pornographic ring. But you don't see them. Why? The world will always cover sin. My friend, if you and I are going to be steadfast, always going forward, you and I have got to saturate ourselves in relationship with the Lord. We've got to take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. We've got to always seek spiritual counsel. My friend, we've raised a generation that doesn't seek that counsel. That's why they go do this. That's why they say, no preacher is going to tell me what to do. That's why they say, I'm going to wear what I want to wear, dress what I want to dress, go where I want to go, be what I want to be. Why have we got more young men that are getting more young ladies that are seeking out a trade? I'm not against a trade. If you look at my left hand, you see my middle fingers. I see my middle fingers. Because I spent 6 years of my life starting at 12 years of age to accept to learn to be a printer. Back in the old hot metal days, in the old linotype days, and I had been a printer's devil for 6 years. That's what it was. Get it a vocation. Now, what is a vocation? There's more need for plumbers, there's more need for electricians, there's more need for carpenters, there's more need for mechanics, there's more need for physical trades than there ever been. And I tell you this, last year was the lowest year of several mission boards that were checked out for young couples in the spring. The lowest year they've had, almost back to the beginning. Why? We're not seeking spiritual counsel to do God's will. If we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, we better raise a generation to next balance our We're talking about balance our lives. Take care of ourselves physically. Take care of ourselves emotionally. Take care of ourselves spiritually. My wife and I spoke with ladies from homes in the state of Kansas and Lawrence, Kansas. And as my wife was doing some studies, she said, "Honey, listen to this. Since 2020, women in the United States of America that are on some type of medication to help them emotionally, listen to this, has gone up since 2020, 72%. Right now, we have family that's addicted on drugs instead of emotions. We're addicted. We're addicted. I'm not against you getting it, but we've raised a generation that's so out of balance. So out of balance. They're seeking things to satisfy the flesh. They're seeking things. Learn to enjoy life. Learn to relax. We can do many things without spending a lot of money. One of the greatest memories we have with our children young. We've always lived on a budget. And when we got their bills and all set aside, and Shauna was working a part-time job, I was working two jobs to put our children in Christian school. What happened? We'd end up and go to Walmart on Fridays after we'd lay the money aside, buy a box of chocolate and malt balls. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a milk cart you open up. We'd go to a park. Kids play in the park, and they'd sit down at the table, and I'd open that box up and say, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for me. One for you, one for you, one for you, two for me. One for you, one for you, one for you, three for me. Dad, that's cheating. No, 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 it's not. I made the third round. It's supposed to be three for me. One for you, one for you. And we'd laugh, and the kids would talk about that. Make memories. Balancing. The hardest day of my life. He was between 7 and 8. He knocked at the office of the kid. We were under the pressure of him. He came home and destroyed. He was 7 and destroyed. It's our 7th son. I'm talking to some pastors. He said, "Dad, can I talk to you?" He said, "Son, I'm listening." "Dad, it's real important." He said, "Son, I'm listening."
Dad, it's real important. He says, I can't talk the whole way with these preachers. He left. He got those preachers. He says, I went all over 55 acres. Couldn't find him. Ask everybody where he's at. Well, I saw him walking down that trail, climbing down along the river. I said, Jeremy, I sat beside you. I said, yes, sir. He was crying. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just thinking. What are you thinking? Thinking what it would be like right now. I said, son, what are you talking about? He looked at me and changed my life. He said, Dad, I don't know that time. Can I tell you who's the most important person on this earth? Children of all. Three grandchildren, about six, five grandchildren, six grandchildren, sorry. They call me. You're important. I love you. 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 Get your home on the street. In time, Dad will be gone. Mom will be gone. There won't be another electric chair at the table. We'll spend time in the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Tonight, after dinner fellowship, we'll drive back. One more time to do. We'll look forward to our eyes. We'll hope for us. That's what we're going to do. Today. Tomorrow morning, we'll be up there with the emotions. Our Bibles. Have our prayer for us.
If we're going to be steadfast, if we're going to be unmovable, if we're always going to be abounding in the work of the Lord, if we're going to, God challenges us to watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, saturate yourself in relationship with God. Take your burdens to the Lord in prayer. Always seek spiritual counsel. Balance your life. Next, lay down guidelines to live by. Never miss church. Never miss tithing. Never miss a day of personal devotions. Live on a budget. Schedule a weekly time with your wife alone. Live by purpose. Live by schedule. Be disciplined. Lay down guidelines. And I'll go to Genesis chapter 34. The young man is the main servant of the man Abraham. He laid down the guidelines. I have done marriages. I said, have you ever looked in Genesis 34? It shows engagement. It shows first time of touch. It shows first time of kiss. It shows what to do when you give the ring. You preach now on what's supposed to be done, on what's not supposed to be done. People look at you. But you're going to head and live a holy life. You've let your flesh, you've let your emotions, you've let your lust get completely out of control. My friend, we live in a no boundaries lifestyle. And if God's people are going to keep going forward for God, we better lay down some biblical guidelines to live. Next, and almost done, is this, is empty yourself. Empty yourself of self. Self is the worst enemy that we face. Pride is mentioned 1,357 times in individual verses in our Word and in our Bible. 1,357 individual verses on pride. That's why pride is the most selfish thing. Pride will ruin a marriage. Pride will create an argument with a husband and wife. Pride will cause bitterness to set in a child's heart. That's why we've got to empty self of ourself. Jesus came that you and I might have life, and that life is eternal life. He gave it all for you and me. How can we give less? How can our priorities be our priorities and not His priorities? My friend in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a serpent, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He stayed. Stay where God's planted you. Stay growing in your walk with the Lord. Stay with the direction that He's led you to take. Stay in the waiting, learning, and developing stage, young people. If our hopes seem to be experiencing disappointment right now, it simply means that we're being purified. Every hope or dream of the human mind will be fulfilled if it is noble and of God. But one of the greatest stresses in life is the stress of waiting. That's why it's saturate yourself with your relationship. Take time or take your burden to the Lord in prayer. Always seek spiritual counsel. Balance your life. Lay down guidelines for you.